Ours to Protect. Brought to you by Ireland's Classic Hits Radio, the IBI, and funded by Comisión na Meán with the television licence fee. Check out ourstoprotect.ie for more information.
This is Traco Brainon on Ireland's Classic Hits Radio, and we're back with another edition of Ours to Protect. Each month we'll be looking at the challenges that climate change is bringing to our lives and finding out what changes we can make to play our part in a greener and more sustainable future for all. This month we're looking at food waste in the home. So first things first.
How much food do we waste?
Time to get some eco-experts on the case.
Leah.
Eve.
Essay.
Zoe.
Carla.
Alexandra.
Lucianne.
Roisin.
Leah.
Josh.
Donica.
Keane.
George.
James.
Keane.
Rory.
Mel.
Daniel.
Patrick.
Afra.
Roisin.
Emily.
The children from St. Columbkill's National School in Gainstown.
I think 7%.
I'd say about 7% as well.
Maybe like 8.
9, 8.
11. About like 12 or 10.
8.3%.
9.6.
20%.
10%.
8.1.
5%.
The answer is about 30% of our food is wasted, and there's lots of things we can do to combat this between making meal plans, checking food stocks in the home before preparing a concise shopping list, and finding better ways to store and freeze food. There are also lots of groups out there with original resources available to help homes and businesses cut down on the amount of food they waste. Fash Ford was set up in Cork to come up with creative, sustainable solutions for all types of waste, including food waste. I recently linked up with Ailish Crowley from Fash Forward to find out a bit more about the Zero Waste Food Workshops.
The Fash Forward Zero Waste Food Workshop is available both virtually and in person. For the virtual approach, it allows us to bring zero waste tips, recipes and cooking demonstrations to remote teams, hybrid teams and teams working across multiple locations. For our in-person approach, the cooking demonstrations are done in the client's office, and so their staff can watch the live cooking demonstrations using up typical leftover foods like potatoes or chicken or bread, and seeing how they can be creatively used in recipes so to minimise those foods from going to waste. Employees love this workshop in person because they get to taste the food after the demonstrations. And we work with Orla McAndrew for our zero food waste workshops, and she's a renowned zero waste food chef in Ireland, specialising in catering at zero waste weddings. And over the years, she's built up so many tips on how to minimise food waste, you know, through shopping, cooking and meal preparation, and even on stocking your fridge, empowering individuals to be able to use up leftover food and to commit to using what they buy. Something that we share in our workshops is the annual food waste per person in Ireland, which is 162 kg, according to the Environmental Protection Agency. And this is actually 30 kg higher than the EU average of 132 kg. And so this stat really engages employees in teams to want to minimise their food waste and kind of makes it a competition. You know, Ireland's a bit behind in the leaderboard when it comes to food waste. How can we improve and how can we use these tips from the workshop to minimise our impact?
Ailish Crowley there from Fash Forward, who provide lots of sustainable solutions for all types of waste, which would inevitably save money for your business. You can find out more about them at fashforward.ie. The Rediscovery Centre in Ballymun is Ireland's national centre for the circular economy. Inside the main door in the centre is the Boiler House Cafe, which prioritises sustainability, reuse and the minimisation of waste. They have lots of creative ideas on cutting down on food waste, so I met up with Grainne Lambert from the centre to find out a bit more about the cafe.
So at the Rediscovery Centre, we have our own cafe here, and the real focus on that is the minimisation of food waste. So one of the items that we do, we have a kitchen garden here where we'll grow some lettuce and herbs and some vegetables with it. Now, we'd never have enough digital size to feed the whole of the cafe, but during season we always use what we can from there. But to do that, we'd also work with the likes of Food Cloud. So they're a great charity organisation that take Food Safe and the likes of Dunn's that are excess, and they distribute it to other organisations. So we would take that. So that's food that would have gone to waste, still perfectly good, and we'll use it in the cafe. We've also done recipes based on using all aspects of the ingredients that we have. So like, say we've got a lot of onions in, we're going to make something like vegetable soup, or a lot of potatoes, and we kind of make sure we use that in. So we'll have our fixed menu, then we have the specials. And the specials really gives a lot of flexibility in that, using what ingredients have come in from this excess vegetables in the garden, let's use it in that, or something's come in from Food Cloud, and it allows us that flexibility to make items based on that.
So what kind of things would you expect, or what are some of the quirkier things that have come from the Boiler Cafe?
Hey, do you know what? We don't owe mad quirky. And I think some people expect that when you kind of go food waste, that has to be a bit out
there. It's something crazy mixed with something else. But
or it's going to be different. Like, you have, because it also, you have to sell the food too. You have to make sure that people, is something people are going to eat and what they want. And for us, like at the Rediscovery Centre, we're also about demonstrating what we do here. So it's a case of, you could actually do this in your own home. Like the shashuka here, you can make that in your own home. The bruschetta, you can make that in your own home. Because it's quite simple to do. So it's not anything where people are going to go, oh my God, that's just like crazy food, I'd never eat that. You have to make it so it's accessible to everybody. But we do also have a lot of signage around to explain to people like how we make the food, where it comes from. And like we always say, in the unlikely event of anything's left on the plate, we then compost the food. So it's a fully circular model that we have here. So if there's anything left over, we put in the compost and that goes back into the garden again. So nothing goes to waste here.
And I heard somebody ask for a circular economy coffee. is there anything I need to know about that, or is that what you call the coffee?
Do you know that? That was just a quirky name that we put on something. So we do have a quirky one down there where it is the circular economy coffee, where they put it through twice to make it really strong. So there's some people who come in who just love really strong coffee. Okay. So it wouldn't be an Americano. They just make it really strong for them. So the circular economy has gone through the system twice.
Very good, very good. So that's the Boiler House Cafe in the Rediscovery Centre. Is there any way that people can learn a bit more about what you do here, and they might get ideas for themselves?
I think the best way is to come and see us. Like, the Rediscovery Centre is open Monday to Saturday at 9 to 5, and then the cafe is open Tuesday to Saturday, 9:30 to 3:30. So to come in and have a look around to see what we do, because it's, you know, tricky, as you know, we've gone around the centre so many times. There's so much to see, not just the cafe or the eco store that we have here. They can do tours, or they can just come in and have a sample of lunch that we have here.
But even strolling around with the kids, they'll see stuff on the wall. They'll start reading things on the walls and seeing how water gets polluted. And, you know, there's different kind of displays all over the place, and between fashion and also the bikes.
Absolutely. Like, the intention of the Rediscovery Centre is to be a demonstration site to show people, you know, to bring the circular economy to life. Because people always go, what is the circular economy?
Exactly.
And I just say, it's common sense. Just keeping things in use for as long as possible. And when you go like that, it's okay, that makes sense. And to go around the centre, and people come always come out and go, I never thought of that. Oh, that's a great idea. Or my mum used to do that. I must start doing that myself. And it's just common sense. And like you said, when you go around the building, you learn different things, or you'll see the circular economy in action, or you eat something and go, it's really tasty. Or you've seen signs on the wall going, I actually could do that at home.
That's the Boiler House Cafe at the Rediscovery Centre in Ballymun. Lastly this week, there's another way of cutting down on your carbon footprint from a food perspective, along with a diet that's kinder to your health and maybe to your conscience. To find out a bit more about going vegan, here's Lorna Ann Tierney, founder of Earthy Virtual Assistant and the Earthy Marketplace.
So when we talk about climate action and protecting the planet, we just have to talk about our food choices. There's no two ways about it. And for me, I definitely found it's not a sacrifice. It's actually really empowering. These days, eating plant-based is actually easier than ever before. So that's the good news. You've got so many options. Obviously, plant-based milks in every cafe almost. You've got great meat-free alternatives in your supermarkets. And more vegan-friendly options are popping up in restaurants all the time. So, you know, you don't have to give up flavor or comfort food. You just have to make simple swaps that feel better for you and better for the planet, obviously. So I wouldn't say, you know, you have to go vegan 100% overnight. I think everybody's different. Excuse the pun, but some people go vegan, you know, they go cold turkey vegan. For me, it definitely wasn't the case. I'd say everybody's different, but like working towards making those changes, it obviously makes a huge difference. Like if everybody in Ireland was to cut their meat and dairy consumption by half, we'd have a huge impact, and that would make serious progress towards our climate goals and our all important climate targets that, you know, we need to be meeting as a country. So that would obviously then, as a result, take huge pressure off the land and our waterways and our wildlife. I'd say it's also about, you know, being more connected to our values and to the animals that we share the world with, and to, you know, create the kind of future that we want to build. For me, going vegan, it wasn't just a diet change. You know, for me, it was like an act of hope, and it was a way to align, you know, my everyday choices with the world I want to live in. Yeah, if you're curious, I would say take the leap. Or even, you know, just a step. Try meat-free Mondays. You know, swap to a plant-based milk for your breakfast and your tea. And try a few different recipes. It can be actually really fun and creative. So, you know, yeah, every little choice, it definitely counts. And when enough of us make those changes, it creates real momentum.
Hours to Protect will be back next week at the same time, when we'll be looking at the advantages of batch cooking and visiting a refill store in Galway. That's Hours to Protect on Ireland's Classic Hits Radio with myself, Track O'Brien, on next Sunday evening at 9:15.
Hours to Protect is funded by Commission na Meán with the television licence fee, and is a partnership between Ireland's Classic Hits Radio and the Independent Broadcasters of Ireland. Check out hourstoprotect.ie for more information.